Yeah, can we try?
It'll sound a little bit roomy.
Should we look into each other's eyes?
We can. Is that part of the test? Right. I don't know. So,
except for, like, when I...
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm,
then that's it. Editing can be done, technically.
If you want me to edit your podcast, you can let me know. It's very easy for me.
Hello and welcome to the Barcast. I'm your host, Nick Barr, coming to you on a Saturday evening. Joined tonight by Matt, my friend, whose last name will be omitted from this podcast.
Maybe, yeah, for certain reasons, if those reasons happen or if it happens to slip out. I don't think it's a big deal. But.
Okay, great. So Matt, you and I were talking about a really interesting disorder.
I guess so. When you say you have something, does that mean disorder? It's not a disease.
Neuroatypical trait.
Sure. I think that's a much better way of putting it.
And I think we'll get into that later, as we dive deeper into it, but we're talking about aphantasia, which, my understanding of it is your mind's eye is blind.
When it's a very poetical way of putting it.
When you summon an image to your mind, you don't actually have imagery.
Right. Visual imagery.
Visual imagery. I don't think either of us fully know what this means yet.
Yeah, I mean, the listener, if they want, they can pause the podcast and go to the Wikipedia page for the VVIQ,
right,
the Vividness of Visual Imagery Questionnaire that we're sort of going to talk about. And they might have the same experience that I did, which was like, the vividness of visual imagery questionnaire is a questionnaire to test the vividness of visual imagery.
Yeah, yeah. And we're not just going to talk about it, we're going to take the VVIQ.
Yes.
So it's definitely a good idea if you're listening at home to pop up that VVIQ yourself, and we'll try to kind of time things such that the listener can take it along with us. So the goal of the first part of this episode is to take the VVIQ and sort of self-diagnose and discuss our findings.
Yeah.
Up front, I'm just curious, how do you think you're going to score on the VVIQ? I understand it to be a range, not binary. So
right.
From having...
Good. I'm going to do good on this test.
Do you think you're going to be sort of some sort of savant who has incredible visual imagery? Do you think you're going to be totally deficient in this area?
If we can talk about this spectrum as like a, you know, in percentile fashion, where it's not like 100 percentile or 0 percentile or better or worse, but just in terms of how visual, I'm going to say I'm going to be in the 60 something. Yeah, something like that. I think I'm a somewhat visual person.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be surprised that I'm a highly visual person, but I know I'm not... not a visual person. And I also know I'm not some sort of like aesthete, like, you know, sees things, experiences things fully formed, because I, you know, when I glanced through the sort of
you've already taken the VVIQ
criteria, well, I looked at the first thing that you told me.
Okay, so
told me
I didn't look through it. Okay, so no, we'll factor that in. I think I'll rank in
where are you gonna be?
The 8th percentile.
Okay.
I think...
very low.
And this is part of my interest in this. I think I might be a fantastic.
I think you're fantastic, too.
Because I was doing some visualization exercises. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'd be like, imagine a blue circle or something like that. And then I was listening to the Q&A, and someone's like, I found out that I'm a fantastic, which means that, like, I can't
That's
even...
really what you say.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Aphantasic?
Yeah. It's not as cool as aphantastic.
I can't...
Mr. Fantastic.
When people are actually describing this, did you know that they actually really mean, like, look at a blue circle? And I also was like, what? No.
Yeah.
And so I'm coming at this from a place of suspicion that I am not. But enough.
I wonder if you're just going to score high on the kind of hypochondriacal or propensity to... Well, there's a good word for this that I'm blanking on. Pathologize. That's what it is.
Yes. Yeah.
Which
well,
I rank very
you also,
high
right.
on that.
Yeah, I think we're both... There's another,
that's another Barcast episode.
Another IQ test.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna read the instructions.
Yeah. Do we wanna tell people sort of how to find this in detail and give them time, or are we gonna leave that up?
The Barcast listeners are among the most intelligent, So just Google VVIQ and you'll find a doc.
There's a doc that you should read along.
So we've downloaded this doc and I'm reading from it now. They don't even need to download this because you can just listen to us describe it.
That's true.
But if you'd like to have something in front of you. So Matt, for each item on this questionnaire, try to form a visual image and consider your experience carefully. For any image that you do experience, rate how vivid it is using the five... Oh, did I start recording? You've got me scared. You're like looking at something.
No. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was checking levels, sorry.
No, check levels, go for it.
Breaking the fourth wall, I used to work as a recording engineer, and, saw me be sort of somewhat futzy with our setup.
I should have set it up better, because Barcast listeners, I'm sure, will have a treat for their ears.
Be significantly worse, because instead of using... Let's not go into details.
Yeah, let's stay focused, but we are recording. For any image... that you do experience, rate how vivid it is using the 5-point scale described below. If you do not have a visual image, rate vividness as 1. Only use 5 for images that are truly as lively and vivid as real seeing. Please note that there are no right or wrong answers to these questions, and that it's not necessarily desirable to experience imagery, or, if you do, to have more vivid imagery. Really beautiful framed. So 5 is perfectly clear and vivid as real seeing. 4 is clear and reasonably vivid. 3 is moderately clear and lively. 2 is vague and dim. 1 is no image at all. You only know that you are thinking of the object.
And that no is in quotes. So I already, just this scale, I think is really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too worried about outing myself on this. So mm-hmm. like I'm a professional musician.
Yeah.
I have a science background only as far as university, where I took some science classes and enjoyed them. But I look at this and I'm like, wait, this is science? Because of the truly subjective nature of like the word lively and vivid and vague and dim. Anyway, I'm getting...
Skepticism acknowledged, and we'll dive deeper into it after we've taken...
Okay, yeah, let's just get into it before.
Let's just get into it. Excuse me.
Should we be writing? We should write down our scores. Okay, you.
Oh, okay. Do you want to do it sort of private? That's a better idea.
I think so.
For suspense building, record it privately.
Give me some of that paper.
I've got a little paper here for you, but these are the show notes.
I'll flip them over once we're
going to need to refer back to those for sure.
All right, how many questions are on the test?
There are going to be 16 questions on the test. But, well, yeah.
That's fine.
They kind of come in batches.
Yes.
Okay. So, listener, join us in this quiz. For items 1 through 4, think of some relative or friend whom you frequently see but who is not with you at present, and consider carefully the picture that comes before your mind's eye. Some relative or friend whom you frequently see, but who's not with you at present. Yeah. That's you. So you and I are disqualified.
We cannot count. Okay, so I've got somebody in my... Frequently?
Yeah, you frequently
see. Okay, all right. I was actually going to
choose
someone different without that. Okay, frequently. Great.
So let's talk about the exact contour of face, head, shoulders, and body. Let's talk about characteristic...
One sec, sorry. Mm-hmm. I was really thinking about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Characteristic poses of head, attitudes of body, etc.
Mm.
Let me know when you're ready.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
The precise carriage, length of step, etc. in walking.
Hmm.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
The different colors worn in some familiar clothes.
Mm. Are we going straight through?
Let's go straight through it.
Okay, because I have so many thoughts already.
I know, me too. But I think we should just kind of power through and then we'll talk.
Let's do it.
Section 2, visualize a rising sun.
Mm.
Consider carefully the picture that comes before your mind's eye. First, let's imagine the sun rising above the horizon into a hazy sky.
Mm.
Now visualize the sky clearing and surrounding the sun with blueness. So take that rising sun, and now the sky clears and surrounds the sun with blueness.
Mm.
Clouds. A storm blows up with flashes of lightning. A rainbow appears.
Hmm.
Okay. Moving on to check the third section. Think of the front of a shop which you often go to. Consider the picture that comes before your mind's eye.
Okay.
Shop that you're
Yeah, let me decide. That's mm-hmm. a tricky one. I can make some Amazon jokes. All right.
The overall appearance of the I need to pick a new shop.
Does your shop lack an appearance?
It doesn't have an opposite side of the road. It's like in, it was, I picked.
There's no there there.
I picked a little coffee shop inside the Caltrain.
Mm-hmm. I know this is a tricky one.
Shops are so like,
I know.
This must be the V1. I know they created another one.
Oh, did they?
I think this is an out of date one.
Mm.
I'm not sure if that's
yeah.
true. I have comments, but we'll talk about
this. This is a British thing, right?
Is it?
Yeah, well, some of the spelling suggests that. And I also thought that they did. Maybe they just go to shops more.
Right.
Those Brits and their shops.
Yeah, imagining a British shop is already more vivid. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Consider the overall appearance of the shop from the opposite side of the road. A window display including colors, shapes, and details of individual items for sale. I mean, okay.
Your shop doesn't have that.
Yeah. I guess, like, I'm going to just try to, like, imagine myself
looking through the window. Yeah.
Yeah, or even looking at, like, a shelf or something.
I don't
think that's cheating. You're near the entrance, the color, shape, and details of the door. You enter the shop and go to the counter. The counter assistant serves you. Money changes hands. Got it?
Yep.
Okay. Finally, this is the last section. Think of a country scene. This is getting more British. Think of a country scene?
Yeah, you don't think about country scenes.
Which involves trees, mountains, and a lake. Consider the picture that comes before your mind's eye. Got it?
Yep.
The contours of the landscape. Color and shape of the trees. The color and shape of the lake. Finally, Matt, a strong wind blows on the trees and on the lake, causing waves in the water. Okay.
So we got numbers. Should we total up these numbers?
So here's an interesting thing about this IQ test we've just taken.
There's no rubric. There's nothing.
So yeah. So just silently count yours Tally. Up, and then okay. let's you and I are going to become the sort of and the listener, you know, can tweet us at the Barcast's Twitter account, which doesn't exist.
Just at your Twitter.
Yeah, my Twitter, NSBar. Okay. Let's go
section by section.
Section by section and build some suspense.
So I want to talk through these sections. I also have another idea, which is that I want to do this, you and me.
Yeah.
And we can each individual audience member can compare with us. You know, it's the usual parasocial situation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think. I have some thoughts about this, and you know
I'm a
vociferous one.
Yeah.
Maybe at some point, if I'm really expounding on my thoughts and I go into a little bit of a tear,
yeah,
we can do some Googling about these numbers and see if there's a rubric or anything.
Love it. Love okay. It. Let's do that. We might have a break in the Barcast.
Oh, okay.
That might be a good time to check.
Cool. But let's just chat about it.
Let's do it. So for now, I think there's going to be lots to talk about. Let's start just by comparing
Should
numbers.
Should we go item by item or section by section?
Let's just do section by section.
Okay.
Section one.
Yeah.
On three.
Okay.
One, two, three, four.
10.5. 10.5. I did a lot of point fives.
It's interesting. That's as much about you as anything.
I think so. I decided that very early on where I was like, this system is too gross. The resolution is too coarse.
So interesting. So while you don't have a particularly good vividness of visual, your granularity is like really strong despite
Okay, so here's my thing. I want to talk about our numbers. I want to talk about the individual question, but here's my takeaway. Huge reaction from just having taken this. Mm-hmm. My images, when we first mentioned any of these things, were crystal clear. Like maybe fours.
Wow.
Every individual thing we said, it was like, boom, there's a flash of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had to sit down and take some time and think about each individual element, they all went down to twos and threes and sometimes in the one range.
I've got questions for you, but let's quickly go through this, the rest of this.
Mm-hmm.
So you said 10.5 and a 4. Section 2.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
11.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Hey, I've made it...
Counting error. okay.
I have an amendment. Five. Also for the first section.
That's fun. Okay, section three.
1, 2, 3, 12.
10.5. What was section three? The front of the shop. You love shops. You love shopping. That's what this says. Because there were other things where I was like, you know, in this one I realized,
I hate this shop.
I don't care about doors. That was my lowest score of the entire quiz, was about the door.
I gave a bad score to the door.
I can't tell you fuck all about this door. But when my only four of the quiz was about exchanging money, was about paying. Now, granted, I was in this shop earlier today. So I paid money at this shop earlier today, and it's a shop that's a cashless shop, and it has a sign that it's a cash. But still.
Well, so let's finish this up, because it might turn out that I overtake you and that you have a disorder. Section four. 1, 2, 3, 10.
Whoa. Nice.
I saw you almost go for a high five. I want to high five you, too.
But, yeah. It's not a great audible. It's not,
our nice was
much better.
Nice is perfect. Okay, so let's quickly count up our totals.
Okay.
32 for me.
Okay, I have 42.
42. And the lowest possible would have been a 16.
Mm-hmm.
And the highest possible would have been an 80. Just, you know, just this is reference. Not that's not our range. But
yeah.
Certainly a marked difference between our answers.
Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting. So notably in those first two sections about the friend and the rising sun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you warmed up? In this?
No, I've been doing a little bit of playing with this, you know, this space, and there's so much to say. I'm so interested and excited to dive into it. I think sometimes a near photographic memory when it comes to, like, if someone is like, Nick, Briarcliff house,
mm-hmm.
I can picture myself walking up the driveway. I can see the gutters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking up the stairs. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. I take a sharp left.
Uh-huh.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 14-ish.
Uh-huh.
I walk up and there's the black welcome mat. Open the screen door. Open the... I could walk through...
You're taking me on a mind journey.
I could walk through this white table with the things, the little feet, I don't know what kind of plant that is, but this like thing with...
There's a hanging plant, right?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... Like coat hangers, not coat hangers, but like little, what do you call them? Like
pegs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Open this thing with a gold. I can walk us through
that. Very vivid.
I can open drawers and remember what was in them, etc.
Do you think this is a five?
No, I would say that's like a four.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a lot, but it's.
I have a lot of skepticism about the five score on this quiz.
Two things. I mean. So yes, skepticism about that. For me, even as I describe that, so let's talk about the rainbow.
Yeah.
I gave the rainbow appears. I actually gave that one a 1. What did you give it? That's number 8.
Number 8, 3.5.
So I want to hear about your experience. My experience was, as soon as I said rainbow, I remembered a rainbow that I saw.
Yes.
And I have a very concrete memory of seeing that rainbow.
Yes.
I know exactly where I was in... Yeah. Physical location. I know the grass. I'm very good with like the pathing of things.
Place-based or location-based.
Location, but also like not simply a static image, but moving through space. Then I'm like, okay, you're here. Remember you took a picture of it. Now look up, and then it's like it's fucking static and like crazy.
Whoa.
Blinking, which is my normal.
Static
closed eye.
Blinking. Interesting.
Closed eye state. I mean, my eyes were going crazy the whole time.
You were closing your eyes for all these, I noticed. A lot of these, I had my eyes
open.
Sometimes it's clearer for me if my eyes are open. Not if I open them super wide like that. It's the visual memory kind of coexists with the visual sense.
Uh-huh.
So the question of memory, you're doing such crazy shit with your eyes right now.
I was just
now.
Trying that.
Yeah.
I think that's on VVIQ V2 is, I think open eye is even stronger VVIQ than closed eye. If you need to close your eyes to summon an image.
Closing my eyes like fucks with me when I... But here's what I wanted to get into is...
Yeah.
I'm like a I would be a really annoying test taker for this test, for the scientists administering this test, because I would have so many questions about exactly the way I was supposed to be thinking about these things.
Yeah.
Because are we talking about using visual memories to call up this?
Right.
Or are we talking about using our imagination?
Right.
Because one of these, think of a country scene. I didn't get a I wasn't sure if am I creating, am I imagining this country scene?
Right.
Or am I supposed to be recalling a country scene? And you know, granted, part of this is what we've been making light of, is like some, these small differences in vocabulary.
Yep.
But that whole thing messed with me the entire time.
Totally.
Because if you say visualize a rainbow appearing, I can give you a cartoon. My mind can give me a cartoonish image of a rainbow appearing, no sweat.
Right.
Or it can give you a mental photograph of a rainbow that I've seen. But there's not much in between for me of like imagining a photorealistic rainbow appearing in a photorealistic. Is that what we're...
Yeah, so I think that's one of my central questions too.
Like, is that what vividness is?
Saying back to you, what I'm hearing is like, and maybe you're talking about something slightly different, but for me, I've continually wondered when I do have these... So I think I have no visual imagination. So for instance, I've heard, I think I saw something else, which is like, imagine a blue circle. So like, close your eyes, imagine a blue circle or whatever. For you, don't close them, whatever. But then like, now imagine it's doing... You know, it's changing color or it's going up and down. Like, I can't, I definitely can't do that.
Yeah, for me, it's maybe a four.
Okay. So, yeah. So for me, that's visual imagination.
Yeah.
When I have these high scores, I think it's like really strong memory.
Yeah.
That's basically like, I took a little camcorder in my brain and like recorded everything. And then I'm like, hey, play that back to me. And it can, it works pretty well.
Yeah.
But it feels like, it feels very memory based. Now, at the end of the day, you were talking about like skepticism around like whether this thing's legit or not. Like, I haven't read any of this, but this was grounding for me in terms of like how one would test this. The testing really makes sense when you have someone hooked up to an fMRI scan,
right?
Because then you can see, is their visual cortex firing?
Yeah, sure.
And so someone could be like, I'm a four, I'm a five, but their VVI, their visual cortex is not going off at all.
Yeah.
And in fact, maybe they're just, I don't know, using a different mental construct.
Right. And yeah, that's what seems so hard to nail down when you're taking it without the fMRI portion of it.
Right.
I still think it's really interesting, but we end up stuck with some of the questions that we have.
Yeah. Interestingly, they do say that like they've done enough of these studies that in general, the VVIQ is a good predictor. Like, so of course, within an individual, they might get it wrong. Like,
yeah,
these self-reporting studies are accurate broadly.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, my skepticism was more just that it's the same reason that I just said I'd be a super annoying test taker.
Yeah.
Because I would just be like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Whoa, should I be doing this or this? And that's me. That's my personality about everything.
Yeah,
you know, it was so interesting. I have stuff for like all the categories.
Yeah.
I thought were particularly interesting. Like, I chose someone I see all the time, but before I missed the word frequently the first time that I read it or you read it. And, I thought of like a really close old friend of both of ours. I thought of our friend Vic, whom I haven't seen in, I don't know, a significant portion of a year.
Yeah.
And again, part of this is just my immediate visual memories of these persons are so clear. But then if I try to drill down into it, it goes away. But for a moment, I am seeing this person in my mind's eye. Some, you know, archetypical version of them, sure.
I have something similar. I mean, as you said, Vic, I could summon Vic up to memory or to vision pretty well, I think. Again, like, I'm a little bit, like, yeah, I think I have. I have, like, some physical properties of him. I chose Teresa, and I really struggled with, like, visualizing her.
Yeah.
I think there might be something to that, like, the way that, like... Well, within that one, I guess I gave myself a two for... it was the one where it's, like, kind of, like, poses. It was characteristic poses of head, attitudes of body. I was able to really do that easily.
Yeah.
I gave it a two, I think, because it's... A lot of those poses didn't even feel visual. They felt sort of, like, almost like orientation-y, or like, I don't know, like they felt almost like positions of body. So in other words, like the thing that was getting fired for me is almost more about like orientation
than
like
location. How they looked. Yeah, that's really...
So quickly, when you close your eyes, just close your eyes, what do you see? Don't try to summon up an image. What are you seeing?
Nothing. I mean, I know that's like a loaded thing. I think it's gray or black or white. There might be... If I really drill down, I can make it change a lot. I can feel, I can sense the light coming in from this window on my left. So there's a gradient of the darkness across my eyelids. There's some...
It's not staticky. I see like staticky blackness with some like deep purple spots.
Yeah, if I really drilled down, you could describe it as staticky. As I talk, it moves a lot as my face moves. There's some red, purple, pinks, and sort of the darker, more closer to black shades of those.
Yep.
But it doesn't feel like that. You know, my knee-jerk reaction, nothing, is, of course, what I've conditioned myself to, like, call this.
Right. Well, it's interesting.
Yeah, there's some staticiness. There's some like, trails.
I almost want to imagine that the reason you say nothing is because you're so used to putting like paint on the canvas.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, like that's like that's kind of what I work with, I think. Like, it doesn't feel like a blank canvas to me. It doesn't feel like nothing. It just feels like this is the world that I see with my eyes closed.
I think when I said nothing, I wasn't tapping into my visual sense is what was happening. I wasn't looking. I was just sitting there, and when I close my eyes, usually it means I'm trying to use another sense or another part of my brain.
Right.
So it's funny that I said nothing, and then I felt kind of foolish because then I sort of like tapped into my visual sense, and there were all these things.
Before we move on to the to kind of the so whatness of aphantasia and the discussion around it. Any final thoughts on this quiz that you just did?
I mean, obviously, I would love to do it hooked up to an fMRI machine.
Right.
Because, yeah, again, it's really interesting to talk about in these ways. But, you know, I have actually a lot of thoughts about what you were saying with regards to place memory and things like that, and the vividness and the visualness of that, because... you know, something that I think about a lot because, you know, I don't know, I play music for a living and I memorize music for a living and I teach people to memorize music for a living, and memorizing music is famously difficult. So I talk to people about memory a lot and I talk to people about visualization a lot, which is almost, you know, sort of hilariously broad term when it comes to memorizing music.
Yeah.
You know, there's audiation, there's tactile sense, you know. But one thing that had a profound impact on the way that I think about these things was a book. I'm forgetting the author. It's very easy to look up because the book is called Moonwalking with Einstein.
Josh Foer.
Yes. Great. Thank you. So, yeah, with sort of this idea that our place-based visual memories are so profoundly powerful.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The memory palace stuff.
Right. And that's the whole basis for people performing these incredible feats of memory. You know, you say somebody recited 80,000 digits of pi from memory, and it was a feat of, as since you read the book, you know, or you know, anybody familiar with that process, this was a feat of visual memory, of place-based visual memory. They assigned all those digits with a schema to images that they placed in a location that they know, the same way that you know your house that you grew up in.
Right.
And when you described walking up those, I haven't thought about your house at home in vivid detail in a long time, right? But when you were describing it, it just came back, you know, in such a profound way. And I, I just have so much curiosity about the relationship between that and this VVIQ scale.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
How much does that count?
Right, I don't know. Can you, when I was doing that for my house, can you do that for yours?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. It's interesting though, because like, you know, I think like a lot of us, you know, you probably haven't been back to that house in a while because your family moved out of it.
Yeah.
And, but my family still lives in that home that I grew up in, but it's changed a lot. You know, you know that our house got, you know, totally rocked by Superstorm Sandy.
Right.
And like rebuilt.
Right.
So now when I go back, it's like, well, which version of the house?
Yeah.
You know, and they sort of start to meld and morph.
I could probably do your house.
Yeah.
I I'm imagining walking through your house, and I definitely have a lot of things clear, but like, for instance, like, so I've just walked down and then through that front door and then I'm in the kitchen or side door. I don't know, whatever you consider that. Right.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, there's that table like kind of to the right and a little bit behind me.
Of course.
And it's like a wood table.
Yeah.
And you know,
what shape is it?
Brown circular wood table.
Yeah.
And then it's like got a lot of shit on it, but I don't remember like what the shit is, you know, or like,
well, it changed every time you were in there.
Yeah. And I remember going to your living room. There there's a sofa here, a sofa there.
And those have been
your dad's chair.
Yeah.
But then like, I don't remember the color of the sofa.
Mm. Well, the slipcovers changed.
The piano, moved, I think, once.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think of it as like by that back door where the gravel is with the hammock and stuff. And
this is very good.
I mean, I can remember opening the pantry and like where the Oreos are.
Yeah, you're quite good at this.
But you know, I mean, an interesting question is like, I maybe have something that compensates for my lack of VVIQ, right? Like, imagine like I have like some little inner recorder, which is like, he's not gonna remember any of this, so like, I better film it.
I think, I don't know, because, you know, it makes me curious about what is visual imagination or visual imagery. Like, it says imagery, not imagination. Is that, you know, and so many, a bunch, arguably all of these categories were memory based.
Yep.
And so it seems like actually what you're describing is, to me, seems like this. It just seems like a specific subset of it.
It might be.
And I think you are like brilliant at one subset of it and pretty bad at some others.
Right.
So, you know, you end up with whatever score you end up with. But I could be wrong. You know, that's...
Well, that's also like a famously, you know, memory between men and women, right? Like, women are like, I'm lost.
Doing some 90s stand-up comedy here.
You ever think about men and women? Men are always like, we're going this way. And the woman's like, I don't know where we are. No, okay, so I don't know
There are some stereotypes.
Can you frame this up? Not stereotypes. There are some biological differences.
Well, I don't know, but you know, I don't have data on this, so I can't say
We've got some good research follow-ups. One of them was this relationship between the memory palace stuff. I'm writing it down.
Okay, great. And memory palace versus VVIQ or / VVIQ.
Yeah, the other stuff is biological. I would guess that men overwhelmingly are worse on this. I'm showing characteristic male properties, which is
that you're better with places and
spatial directions, north, south, west, east orientation. And then women are, so like, for instance, again, the stereotype, but also I think it's borne out in research and we'll find out, is like women remember exactly what they were wearing, what you were wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was wearing that red dress and you were wearing that shoes.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is true, but like the hunter-gatherer stuff comes into play here, right?
Right.
Because it's like men were out there, like this hunt worked last time, we have to map the space.
Uh-huh.
Women were at home, like, picking, like, the berries that weren't going to kill them. That's, like, the evolution thing.
Sure. Yeah, I just don't feel like I have enough info to talk about.
You're sitting that one out, and we'll look it up, and we'll discuss it later.
Yeah, that's how I feel about this.
That's fine.
I have a shitty spatial sense. And, like, you know, whatever.
Your X chromosomes are short. Okay.
Yeah, am I emasculated?
Let's move on. I don't know if neither of us read the Reddit, but
there's a Reddit.
There's a subreddit, Aphantasia, and I guess without going too deep into it, it's a little bit of this.
Oh, that news story that just popped up. So You scrolled down the second post here, but we sorted by top, right, or something like that. But did you hear that the ex-head of Pixar sort of quit because he said his mind's eye is blind, like he can't imagine things
anymore? That's why he quit?
No, that's not why he quit. It's just something that he sort of came out with, and like, I mean, yeah, go ahead and read, but what I remember is just the impression that I got. And you know, again, this could be just skimming things on social media.
Yeah.
Is that once upon a time, he had the ability to visualize and imagine things visually, and he lost that. But it could just be saying he's never had, that he's always had aphantasia.
I think you've made up an article.
A narrative for this?
Where Ed Catmull was like, disgraced and asked to leave Pixar
because he
fell and hit his head and couldn't see things anymore. And it's completely...
misspeaking at first.
In a surprising survey of former employees, so do some of the world's best animators.
Interesting.
He first realized his brain was different when trying to perform Tibetan meditation with a colleague. Visualization is a core part of the practice. He was told to picture a sphere in front of him. He couldn't do it.
So is this similar to how you feel like you've arrived at your self-diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those meditation practices take very seriously, like, what are you seeing with your eyes closed?
Yeah, well, now this just makes me want to think about the relationship between aphantasia and VVIQ. Because this VVIQ test seems to be testing more than simply that thing that we're talking about.
Yeah.
More than just imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question.
Imagery versus imagination is probably my prime question about all this.
Right.
Is imagination a subset of the type of imagery that we're testing? Does it include imagination and memory? Or are we conflating things a little bit?
Adding it to the research to do. So we're already well into this barcast. I want to respect...
I talk a lot.
No, it's fantastic. It's a rich subject.
Fantastic. It's a fantastic.
I don't know how to... This is maybe a brief segment, but like, I wanted to dig into what does it mean to people to be aphantasic? Like,
yeah.
I want to ask this question. I should have asked it. That would have been nice to bring this onto the barcast, but I was thinking about asking, like, what does having aphantasia mean to you?
Drop into the subreddit.
Yeah, just ask that question for people, because like, I'm seeing some people are like, they take it as being like neuroatypical, and it almost means to, what I'm reading between the lines, and sometimes in the lines of that, people are like, like finally a name to describe the way I'm different.
Yes.
And my personal fascination with it is almost the exact opposite, which is like, I feel super neurotypical. And now it just makes me want to know, how does the brain work such that like you and I can be so different, and yet like,
we don't feel that difference.
I mean, given the fact that no one even knew what this was until 3 years ago, shows how it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
And yet there seem to be real differences.
Or it's the sort of thing that people have talked about since caveman times.
Yeah.
And gone, wait, you can do that? Like, it's different for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this has just exited the realm of the, like, does your blue look like my blue?
Right.
And you know, we finally have the tools to kind of measure this.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It's tricky, especially using a subreddit like this as a kind of sample, because what I'm seeing a lot of as we sort of scroll through this, so much of it is identity.
Yeah.
Is that this is that like people's quirks, you know, we're talking, you know, I guess in a way we were talking a little bit about like quirks and normality.
Right.
Like you can have little, you know, I'm sort of using these terms very cavalierly, but we both feel like we fall within the realm of normal human thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have these big differences in this. You're more like this. I'm more like this in marked ways. But I don't know, when someone has the impetus to find a subreddit and talk a lot about it, it, it's interesting to me how much importance this seems to gain. Maybe that's privilege on my part of being like, well, I can imagine stuff just fine, so what's the fucking problem?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know.
Do you feel like this could become a part of self-identity for you? Like, having a word
I'm open to the possibility.
Okay.
Like, if it turns out that this impacts more of my worldview than I thought,
yeah,
then I would.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, while we're both normal-ish people, like, mm-hmm. we're certainly not normal-normal. And, like, if someone's like, I don't know, let's say I'm a systems thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out the people who can't see things see systems. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
Yeah, sure.
They're like, oh, do you not like sunsets? Or like, I like sunsets. I don't know. But I can imagine like a horoscope type description of people who have aphantasia, and if it really like resonated with me deeply, I'd be like, oh, I have that.
Yeah, for sure. And it seems like to some extent that's already true.
To what extent it's already true?
Well, that you, it was just the last thing that you said that I grabbed onto where I thought there was a description of it like that. And you're like, oh, I have that.
No.
Okay.
No, I just made up for illustration.
Like. Okay. I gotcha. You know what I just thought of? Another thing I wanted to say about the quiz that you just mentioned, is that the sunrise question was so unfair to those of us who are maybe professional musicians and aren't early risers.
Mm.
I don't know the last time I saw a sunset. Or sunrise, right?
Yeah.
Sunsets.
Whereas I watch the sunrise every morning from my bed.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's like it very beautiful.
He's like, hello.
Oh, that's why I have blackout curtains.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Where are we going now?
Let's start to, as we approach the close of this,
okay.
let's open to an open-ended exploration of, so we've been talking about the mind's eye.
Yes.
But the mind has other senses.
Right.
I don't even know. I just want to begin to explore what does it even mean to have a mind's nose or a mind's ear,
right?
And these other senses and like what the implications for that might be.
Can we freestyle
in
a little bit?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to start with mind's ear because that's the one nearest and dear. That's the one I have so many thoughts about that it
might need to be another podcast.
Yeah. I think so. But I want to start with the one where I feel like neither of us has any kind of special ground. So I want to start with mind's nose and mind's tongue. Uh-huh. So Nick is demonstrating both of these things with his eyes closed, interestingly. So for instance, you know, breaking the fourth wall, we just had some pizza delivered.
Did it arrive?
Yes, it's right behind you. Wow, you are incredible at concentrating. I can tell you everything that has happened with this pizza.
What?
And
you have a little more of vision.
Yes, you're amazing.
I've been like completely.
Yeah, you've been locked in. You've been in the zone. You've been, what is it? Plugged in?
Wired in.
There you go. Okay, so let's go away from that. Can you imagine the smell of...
Now I can really smell the pizza.
A rose. How about the smell of cooking garlic? How about the smell of gasoline? I'm going fast for a reason. How about, like, shit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's mind's nose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's pretty vivid for you.
Pretty vivid.
Or the taste of a slice of New York pizza. Mm-hmm. The taste of a really good apple. The taste of macaroni and cheese. Mm-hmm. The taste of Oreos.
Mm.
How about that beer we were just drinking? That's a tough one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can you do the same?
Give me some.
Okay. It's such a naughty one. Okay, I'm gonna make it good for the kids. But I can't. taste of...
Just imagining what it was.
Yeah, you know what it was.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Taste of broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Taste of peach schnapps.
Never had it.
Taste of an ice cube.
Mm-hmm. Taste of snow. On the water. Yeah.
Taste of a peach.
Mm-hmm.
Taste of a cherry with a pit still in it.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel like this is I don't know. For me, this is the same thing. There are these sudden blasts. Yeah. And if you try to go... Yeah, sure. And that is the same thing for me visually. It's like, am I evaluating the blast?
Let's go deep on broccoli for a second. Are you tasting the broccoli?
This is making me so hungry.
Are you tasting the broccoli?
Okay.
Now it's I want gone. You to measure. It's a steamed thick. Okay. It's that steamed thick. Is it no seasoning broccoli.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And now it's like a little bit wilted.
Oh, those, like, this was it crisp first?
It was that, too that shitty steam, like, not sautéed or anything.
The more we go into this, the less vivid, longer I sit on it, the less vivid it gets.
I don't have any issues summoning those kind of things up.
Yeah, and okay, so mine's ear. Mm-hmm. I think, well, we can try a really similar thing, right? Which is, like, okay, can you imagine, can you hear... Ooh, this is a really interesting one. This is a memory thing, though, actually. Because I was going to say, can you imagine the beginning of Going the Distance by Cake?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sorry, hold on. I'm, like, remembering all of the Cake songs right now. It's like, bum, 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 bum. And it's like, that's not the Going the Distance.
But you're using your mind's ear, right?
Yeah.
You're using it in a very real way.
My mind's ear is super strong.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing, but here's another thing. Again, it goes back to memory a little bit. Like, so I was talking to Kevin a little bit about this, and we were talking about impressions and impressionists.
Mm.
So that's an interesting application of
mind's ear.
Mind's ear. And also mind's eye. So, mm-hmm. like, in other words, if I'm going to do who can we do an impersonation of?
Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
Christopher Walken?
So, sure. Which one? Let's pick one.
Christopher Walken.
I think we should pick Jack Nicholson. Okay. It's a little bit hard.
Yeah.
So he has this sort of self-satisfied smirk that I can't really do. Kind of like...
Yeah, I'm sort of getting... Yeah.
And he does a lot of these swallows, like, and the pizza's right... Well, let me finish mine, and then you can do yours.
Okay, yeah. It's a tough one.
Have you seen Easy Rider?
No.
Okay, have you seen... The Shining?
No.
Okay.
I know. You know I haven't seen any movies. I've seen The Passenger, the Antonioni movie from 1977
him in that. What's a movie he did?
Batman. Tim Burton's Batman. He's the Joker.
I haven't. It's been out too
long. As good as it gets. Helen Hunt.
Okay, Greg I've never seen it, but I kind of saw the trailer so I can do it. Hey, Helen Hunt, why don't we get in the car and go for a long drive?
I think the voice started out great, and then the accent got to me.
That's yours.
I see. This is where a certain element of the disconnect between. So, this is part of the reason I'm interested in this as a musician, because what we're talking about is a form of improvisation. Inherently.
Sure, Matt.
No, this is where my profound self-consciousness, like, really forms a barrier between my ability, my sense, my visual and auditory memory of this thing, and my ability to replicate that.
Production.
Yeah, mm-hmm. production. And it's actually really similar to musical improvisation, mm-hmm. where if you have, everyone does to some degree, right? But, like, basically, if you're... embarrassment, self-consciousness, whatever we want to call this. Fear is a pretty good summary of it.
Don't be afraid, Matt. You can do the accent.
Summarize. If it
You still haven't done the impersonation.
I know. Because
you're stalling. You're stalling. Go. Come on.
All right. Hey. Hey, Batman.
That's pretty good.
So...
Yeah, you had it more gravelly. He's got more going on. Hey.
Part of it is sometimes I think of Jack Nicholson, I just see my dad.
Man, that's a pretty nice car. Why don't you watch the Lakers game?
Hey, well, he's got this thing. You know, or...
It's a little Clint Eastwood, you know.
Well, yeah, that it went into, like, Sergeant Hatred from the Venture Brothers, which is where I usually go.
Yeah. So much more to say.
Yeah.
I
think improvisation and or... Some version of this could be a subsequent talk.
Let's close with a thought experiment that I want to, if you have an answer to, great. Mm-hmm. If not, we can leave it for another time. Mind's ear, what I liked about Mind's ear, and also Mind's mouth, Mind's taste.
Okay.
it seems more testable through like someone's ability to do something. So for instance, like if someone has no Mind's ear, we probably notice that they have no ability to like remember songs or like produce songs. Like even if they can't
amusia is a disorder.
Right. So you'd have amusia.
Mm-hmm.
You would have, if you had a taste, you know, no taste, but like,
oh yeah, there's anosia is, I don't think I'm pronouncing it right, but anosia or whatever you want to say actually is a thing where people can't smell.
And you'd be like, how was dinner last night? And the person would be like, good, yeah, fine,
I guess.
Now, I don't, again, it goes back to the other question of like memory versus replaying it in your mind's mouth or
imagination,
whatever.
Imagination.
But there seem like they're more testable frameworks for it. Whereas like, what if anything is the equivalent of that for mind's eye?
Okay, here's my totally off the cuff idea about this.
Yeah.
I think speech and speech being our almost universal form of communication, everyday form of communication, actually makes a big impact in the way that we see these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think something like drawing could be the mind's eye test, but when you're talking about sounds and reproducing sounds,
yeah,
or you're talking about describing things, we're tapping into a skill that everyone has practiced their entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas very many people basically practiced drawing a little bit when they were a kid in the ways that they were expected to,
mm-hmm,
and then gave up on it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And drawing, like speaking, is a skill. Imagine, you know, the people who are amazing at drawing essentially practice it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I think drawing is the answer to your question.
Mm.
But I think that anything that can be described orally basically has an advantage in terms of how we can reproduce it because we're all practiced orators.
Yep.
That's my pet theory.
I like that pet theory. I'll close with, I don't know what the overlap with this is, but, mm-hmm, and it's also, I don't remember the book well enough, but this book, the Julian Jaynes book, The Origin of Consciousness and the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which was sort of like
The Westworld thing.
He talks about, what does he say? It's super interesting. So the thesis, let's see if I, I'm going to bail on this in like 25 seconds if I can't remember it.
Okay.
We used to hallucinate the voice of the gods. So before we had consciousness,
yeah,
we were automata that walked around executing the orders of voices in our heads.
Okay. I have questions, obviously, but I'm going with you because I think that is the thing that you're just like, that's his thing that he said.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
As writing systems developed and also like a whole lot of other stuff happened and cultures started to see each other and any number of things, consciousness developed.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness had to sort of invade one of our sense organs. Hearing was like already full up with voices.
Okay.
And so consciousness ended up filling up our sense organ, or our sight organ.
Mm-hmm.
And his evidence for this is through language. So for instance, like in the Iliad or books that were written pre-consciousness,
mm-hmm,
there are a lot of references to like, he felt it in his gut, like lifeblood spilled out of his like heart. Like there were a lot of like, there was no organ preference for describing inner states. So for instance, like, I mean, there wasn't consciousness yet, but sight wasn't really privileged.
Okay.
Now, I mean, think about how unified sight is with understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see.
Yeah.
I can't really perceive your point here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like,
sure. Endless. I get what you're saying.
So does that have any implications for this? I guess the implication is, sight and consciousness have become like fused.
Mm-hmm.
We all have consciousness, but like consciousness sort of will like, I guess more easily like take on different sensory input or something like that. Such that like when we talk about seeing things, mm-hmm, like we've kind of confused the pot of soup of stuff in there, whereas like taste and smell are like actually quite preserved.
They're discreet. Yeah. There's something there. I have like a lot of questions, which is not the appropriate way to end.
Yeah, I have no answers.
So. Yeah, I think, you know.
So that's been the Barcast. Thank you for joining us.
Of course.
I was talking to the listener.
But of course, they're
thankful. No, thank you so much, Matt. And yeah. We look forward to, where can we find you?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, we didn't do anything naughty, so, you know.
No, we might. So,
oh, this is a break.
The reason I kind of left a note in there is so that we can, if we choose to re-put something in the end there.
Okay. Well, then, you can find me. You can't find me.
Okay.
Okay. Or if you know Nick, you can find me.
DM me.
Yeah, I'm.
Where can I find Matt?
You know,
and then I'll ask
like,
you a couple
if
questions.
You, like, if you sleuth through Nick's like mentions and stuff, you might figure out who I am.
I have a couple of Matts in my life.
Yeah,
so
that's why I said might
a little
figure
bit of
out
trial
who
and error.
I am.
Yeah,
but I've said some personal detail, identifying personal details.
You have.
I'd rather have it be a mystery.
Okay. See ya.